Good afternoon, everyone. This is Andrea, and I'd like to welcome you to our final webinar and podcast episode for 2021. A quick reminder on asking questions. If you're joining us live today, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. Just use the Q&A function on your Zoom control panel, and that will be answered at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. I'll now hand over to Mark Holton, Smithinc Director, who will be presenting How to Be a Financial Storyteller. Over to you, Mark.
Well, thanks, Andrew, and good afternoon, everyone. I think it's afternoon, isn't it? It's after 12 in Sydney. Good morning to everybody else in other states. And welcome to our last webinar for 2021. Hasn't it been a great year, Andrea? Fantastic year. I think everybody's just about had enough, want to go and have a Christmas break, and then come back and rule a line in the sand and move on to 2022. Our topic today is how to be a financial storyteller. And I often get asked by accounting firms, who's the best person to get involved in the advisory side of things? Who should I look for in my existing staff? What type of person should I look to go out and recruit? I think to be a good storyteller, which in essence is a good advisory accountant as well, you have to really like to do it. You want to do it. It's not something that's dropped upon you or forced upon you in some cases, but you've got to like taking clients on a journey. You've got to like starting with what I call once upon a time and finishing with happily ever after. But it's really what counts in the middle that makes it a good or bad story. So I'd like to give you a couple of ideas today just about how I go about, you know, telling stories, working with clients and so forth, just to help engage them a bit better and maybe flush out a few more opportunities for you and your advisory services within your firms. So I think storytelling is really important. I think they help us relate. They help us connect with our emotions. And I'm a big believer in using a couple of old war stories too, things you've done in the past, experiences you've had, clients you've worked with, you know, and I always drop a couple of those in just to get the audience to relate to the experience that I've had working with clients and how we can obviously then end up working with them the same way. I think in order to do it well, we need to wrap people's story around their numbers to engage them. We are accountants after all. We do love numbers. We all love Excel, as I call the accountant's love tool. Anything that needs to be done, we'll put it into a spreadsheet. We'll look at it, we'll color it in, and everything looks pretty. Numbers are critical. Numbers relate to performance. Performance to a business owner is critical. So we do need to wrap the numbers. But I suppose the challenge here when you do ask working with clients is how many numbers do you need to wrap around them? How quickly do you introduce them to them? What do you start with? What sort of goals do you set them? How do you follow those goals up with a client as well? But numbers tell a story, okay? Particularly where the numbers might otherwise not be as good. And by working with you and your firm, you're going to create better, more successful client businesses where the numbers are much, much more enhanced than what they were when we first started. And I'm a big believer the numbers tell the story in where you were, where you're going to get to in the future, how you get there, and when we do get there, what you've achieved. Also support your value-based billing system quite nicely as well. So what's the key to storytelling? I think it's always to find out what's important to them. You know, I use that term witty, what's important to you? To find out deep down in the client's psyche, what bothers them, what keeps them awake at night, any other cliches we want to throw in there. But it's important, isn't it? I mean, if you worry about your business, you worry what it's doing, you worry about the finances, the staff, the IT, the marketing, everything else, often when you put your head on the pillow, that's when it really starts to resonate. So we've got to dig in to find out what is really important to them. We also need to look at what problems we can solve with our clients. Now, if we're not going to ask them and we're not going to engage them and we're not going to unlock their needs and we're not going to find out what's important to them, boy, it's hard to capture that information and then in turn turn it into a solution. I've always been very solution-focused when I look at doing advisory work with clients. But before you can do that, you have to take them down a journey of discovery. And that journey of discovery will then ultimately lead to a positive solution. So how do we create priorities moving forward for clients? I'm a big believer that, and I love this quote, says to drive a culture of innovation, leaders must realize they've got to let go of the past. Compliance is a beautiful tool. Okay. Accountants love it. Clients maybe not love it, but certainly have to have it done. What does it look at yesterday? What does it look at? The revision mirror. What's advisory all about? It's looking forward, not backwards. If we're going to really be a good advisory accountant, you can take the numbers that have happened, you can learn off them, but you can't drive success with them. I'm a firm believer of this. We've got to start looking forward. Taking the numbers of yesterday, sure, is an indication of what might happen tomorrow. But interacting with the client about tomorrow, measuring their performance based on tomorrow, and starting to engage them in a way that they can really start to see a measurable benefit in their business. So, how do we do this through stories? The first thing I do, and always have done, at least most recently, is to do a little tool called a What's Important to You, a WITI. I send it out to every client. I introduce it before it goes out. I never, ever send it out cold. The tool itself is put out by an organization called MYP in Brisbane. And it's an electronic survey that asks the clients a whole host of questions to try to dig out their non-financial issues, the things that really do worry them and what are truly important to them. I use this information that I get from the client to develop strategies to help them work on the future. So this particular client, their most important strategies was they wanted to plan to significantly grow the business. They wanted to commence work on a succession strategy, and they wanted to reduce key dependency on the business owner. One of the questions in the WITI process is, if something happened to you, could the business continue? A lot of small business owners would say no. And then when it asks them, does it concern them, they would say absolutely. How are they currently achieving that problem, working towards that problem? The answer probably is not at all. Succession, so poorly done in a lot of businesses until it's too late. So this client is yelling out, hey, I need help in these areas. And the information comes back to me in a format, either in PDF or in Excel, where I can start to see the major issues. So this client has said to the question, if something happened to me, the business would be able to continue without me. The key dependency question. That's got nothing to do with finance. They've marked it as extremely important through the WITI process and then marked their current achievement to that question as I don't know. So extremely important is 5 out of a 1 to 5 ratio. I don't know is 1 out of a 1 to 5. The distance between them is the greater, and that's why it's telling me this client is really worried. So my strategy, the way I think, is when I see this, I'm immediately thinking about what service can I provide to the client to help them here. And obviously, a succession plan is something that we probably need to look at. Maybe a work-life balance plan for this fellow. Okay, because at the end of the day, if you can't take a holiday, you can't spend time with your family, you can't keep fit, you can't let the business go, something will break eventually. And what generally will break is the person. So I need to know this. I need to strategize on it. We can work through the report and come up with a couple of other things. Like, he wants to significantly grow the business. He's saying it requires focus, yet it's very high when it comes to his priorities of importance to him. Now, the question I have with this guy is, can he afford to grow the business? Which is where I put my financial hat on and I go into my financial diagnostic tool, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and then I'll look at his key drivers for success, and I'll look at his pricing points, I'll look at his revenue, I'll look at his cost structure, I'll look at his current management of his receivables, payables, inventory slash WIP. I'll look at his cash flow management and his growth. And then I'll know before I talk to him
whether he's in the position to grow the business at all. Many clients, as you and I know, guys, will grow their business out of business if they focus purely on the revenue line and not focus enough on the cash flow. So I know with this fellow, even though he wants to grow, his numbers don't support the strategy. So part of my conversation with him as a storyteller sometimes is to tell them stuff they don't want to hear and realign and reset their objectives as they move forward and onwards in their business. Not everything is roses. Sometimes we do have to sit a client down and say, first thing we need to do is stabilize the business. Then we can grow. If we try to grow on a fragile model, then we'll get pretty poor results. But see, this is not me saying, client, this is what you need to do. This is the client saying to me as the advisor, these are the things that worry me. How much they worry me, how well I think I'm currently doing, and please help me. I think too often in advisory, we tend to tell the client what they need to do. That's not telling a story. That's giving them a lecture. Okay? Even though we know that what we're telling them is correct, 100% correct. I would never, ever doubt the technical expertise in this industry. It's quite brilliant. But communicating it to a client in a manner the client understands, taking them on a journey that starts with a small step and moving them to the next step after they achieve the first one, is where I think soft skills play a really important part in the nurturing game here. Can't work with a client if I don't know what's bothering them, if I don't know what's important to them. You don't have to use the witty process. That's just my tool of preference. But you need to do what I call a needs analysis, what financial planners call a fact find, what business coaches call a business diagnostic. All it is understanding what's in the client's head, what bothers them, and then framing your solutions around those key pieces of gold that you get out of this process. I'm a big believer I could go out and have a conversation with a client these days, having done so many of them and trained so many accounting firms to do it, that I probably don't need a witty, but I always have it done, always. And I always recommend to clients to go through this pre-engagement process. The other thing I've always believed pre-engagement, to tell a good story, is analyze your client's financial performance. And the way I've always done this is someone said to me years ago, you know, at the moment you're like a duck floating on the lake above the waterline, everything looks pristine, but I'm sure under the waterline you're paddling like there's no tomorrow. I think we need to look above the waterline. We need to look at strategies. We need to drive a strategic focus of clients. Below the waterline is where everything's done. That's where operations sit. We can get involved in operations, but generally most clients try to do this themselves. We've got to realign advisory to not working through how the business operates, because that's the client's job, but the strategic steps to create better, more structured, more beneficial performance for that client. You know, the old cliche, guys, where I am today, where I want to be tomorrow, how I get there, when it happens, who does it, when do we celebrate? I think that's a really important component. So the way I do this is that my tool of choice is a tool called Cash Flow Story, and that's for engagement. I have other tools that I've always used for budgeting, for cash flows, for more sophisticated dashboard and analysis. But I'm just talking about engagement. I'm just talking at the moment about storytelling. I understand and analyze the four key drivers of success, and I use a tool called the Power of One to test the water before I go out there and dip my, let alone the client's, toe into that water. We look at the financial performance of their business by taking numbers and turning those numbers into knowledge. I'm a passionate believer that good storytellers have the ability to take numbers, rows, columns, figures, somewhat boring to most clients, let's be frank, though accountants love this stuff, And then how do I turn it into realizable knowledge? How do I turn it into actionable outcomes? Call it what you will. How do I disseminate the data in such a way and explain it in such a way that the client actually wants to do this, okay, as distinct from has to do it? That's where I see compliance and advisory as two different sales processes. Advisory is not something you have to do. Some clients will never do it because they'll never pay for it. They'll never see the benefit in it. But then again, do we need them all to do it anyway? We haven't got the resources, let's be honest. So I'm only going to focus on the top 20%. And I'm going to focus on, you know, enhancing their services, enhancing my fee line, and working only with clients that I really want to, that have the right attitude. Okay, but ultimately, these numbers don't make an impact to the majority of clients. So how do we turn numbers into knowledge? We analyze key trends. We make it simple. For a long while, probably 25 years in this game, I've always worked on the red and green concept. If something is green, it's good. Let's work on keeping it that way. If something is red, then we've got to go to the 3F concept: find, fix, fix fast. How do I work with a client? Well, this client, certainly selling well, but struggling in his other key profitability drivers. You know, his margin's down, his overheads are up, his EBIT is down, his EBITDA is down, his net profit, bottom line, take-home pay has gone down by 22%. So his profit house has dropped by 22%. I don't think any client would be happy with that, but he is selling. My question to you with this fellow is, from this information, what conversation will you have? What questions will you ask? How will you prepare yourself to be able to extract out of them what you already know to be the main financial issue? We've got to get them to engage with us. We've got to facilitate, not tell. Okay? We've got to get them to talk to us about how they drive their business and tie this information back in, because there's so much valuable information we can extract here, such as their profitability trends over a period of time. Simple trend analysis. So as we can see with this particular chap, his gross profit's been dropping over the last 4 years. Consequently, so has EBIT. And net profit's gone from $7.40 for every $100 of revenue to $4.60. So as he sells more, he's actually losing. And when I said that to him, he said, I can't understand that. How can I be losing if I work harder? And that then opened up a raft of opportunity to work him through a more structured budget and cash flow, more realistic, more achievable, more accountable, board of advice meetings that we did with him every quarter, some KPI work that we used Excel for, still the best tool for any of that stuff, I think, when it comes to creating a customized version. Other tools can do the same thing, of course. And we started to engage, and the stories got better, and they got more detailed. And as I made him more financially literate, he asked better, stronger questions of me and challenged me, which is what we've got to be prepared that will happen. And we can also use simple explanations. I mean, like that chart there, just to look at it, for example. Okay. Well, last year, stock arrives day zero. My creditors get paid day 46. I don't sell it to day 101. So there's immediate negative cash flow. When I finally sell it, I wait to day 217 to get paid. So from the point that I pay and money goes out the door to the point that money comes back, 172 days have elapsed. That's a long period of internal cash flow funding. Look at the current year, guys. Creditors gone down. Payables gone down. Stock gone up about 17 days. Receivables gone up roughly about, 20-odd days. You tell them an accountant, I just rounded that off. So essentially what I'm saying here is that your cash flow cycle, your internal funding is now 201, a month longer. I'm waiting a month longer now from the moment I pay a supplier to the moment a customer pays me. And that's how I explain it to a client. Not that's receivables, that's debtors, that's payables, that's creditors, inventory, WIP, and that stuff. But it's the number of days from when you pay a supplier until the customer pays you. And what we've got to work on here is shortening that cycle, because the higher it gets, the more you lose. The less cash you have, the more risk on your business, and it is vulnerable. So I use simple explanations, I use simple charts, and I tell them stories that ultimately will lead to them engaging with me to help them improve their business. So as we move towards the half hour point, I'd like to challenge you for one last time in 2021 to take the advisory challenge in 2022. Let's be honest, we've all had enough. We want Christmas to come. I'd love you to grow the size of your practice revenue without increasing the percentage of your compliance work. Really would. And I hope ultimately, like I found, I had a lot more fun doing it. I found compliance 25 years ago to be draining. I also realized that I could get good staff to work with me and do most of that anyway. I wanted to go out and engage clients. I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to get up there and help clients run better, smarter, more valuable businesses. And I've had a lot of joy through that process. Certainly had some trials, some tribulations. Not everything works perfectly, never will. But I tell you what, the Pareto rule works beautifully. 80% of the ones you do will be fantastic. The other 20%, you'll sit back in the light of day and think, I could have done that smarter and better next time. And you will. No doubt about that. With that in mind, as I always say in these webinars, if you ever want to have a chat to me about how I took my business from compliance to reliance, how I created the model to profit from compliance through advisory, and how I might be able to help you guys do it, reach out to me. I'm happy to do a complimentary webinar with you just to see where your firm is. Even if you want to have a chat about, you know, what's the best way to do it, how to find the right staff, what software should I look at using? You'll get my ideas here, of course, but their ideas based on doing it in a firm. Their ideas based on creating a scalable model for success that ultimately led to a whole host of success that I tend to work now with firms to help them achieve. Always keen to have a yarn, guys, if you want. And before I do finish, let me just remind you of Smith Inc.'s next event. Yes, we are getting back together, Andrea, are we not? Face-to-face. No more Zoom. Having said that, we're on Zoom today. Work that one out. It's our Young Guns workshop. We've had to postpone it four times, okay? But it is going ahead. It is on 21 and 22 Feb at Hilton Hotel Surfers Paradise. And, Andrea, I think we've already got about 73 today, have we not, booked in?
We have. We do, yes.
And certainly from a numbers point of view, guys, it'll go ahead. Border shutdown pending. But as with everything these days, there's obviously a COVID cancellation guarantee that we built in there as well. It'll give your team or yourself 14 hours of structured CPD. We have some great people coming to talk, but remember, it's a workshop. So the purpose of a workshop is not sit there and listen to someone talk to you all day. It's to do it. So you'll be doing things like networking, not talking about it, public speaking, managing mental health issues with accounting firms, developing advisory structures, creating accountability in the firm, freeing up capacity, managing people, managing teams, managing small groups. It's a very hands-on, practical two-day session. And for the first time ever, APS, one of the major suppliers of accounting software and practice management solutions to the accounting industry, are promoting and sponsoring the APS Young Gun of the Year Award. There are three categories. They are awarding $500 in each category and then $2,000 to the ultimate Young Gun of the Year, also providing mentoring sessions from APS and us here at Smith Inc. And also for the three that are chosen as the Young Innovator, the Young Influencer, or the Young Advisor of the Year, they'll be flown up to the event, accommodation and airfares with APS, and Smith Inc. will make a two-day pass available to them. Or if they're already coming along, then we'll refund that money to them. The timeline, as you can see on screen, the process is on the website. I'd love to see some of your young guys apply for this, because I think it is a really strong recognition of the young person and also an even stronger recognition of how good your firm is and how well it develops its young people, and how we look outside the square when it comes to our young folk. So, guys, I'm doing a bit of a sales job on this because my greatest fear is no one will apply. And there's no way in the world Mark Holton or David Smith are going to become a young gun. I can tell you that for a fact. Okay? You can sell some things, but you can't sell fantasy. So love to see your team up there. Jump online, have a look at it, and apply if you wish. And Andrea, at about 4 minutes to go, I'd like to pass back to any questions on what we've covered, or in fact, any questions on anything we haven't covered today that people might have on their mind.
Great, thanks, Mike. Just if you do have a question, anybody, please type it into the Q&A function on your control panel there. We have got one come through already, and I'll read that out for you. If you want to ask Mark anything about the session, but also anything about Young Guns, you can always contact us on any of those. So someone has asked what is the name of the software to generate the Witty, W-I-T-Y.
Interestingly, the name of the software is Witty. What's important to you? The supplier of the software is MYP Corporation, M for Mark, Y for Yellow, P for Peter, in Brisbane.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Yes, we've actually worked with MYP a little bit, so I'm sure you'll be able to find them. If not, just let us know. We can forward you those details.
If anyone's interested, guys, and you want to have a chat to the guys, I'll write a personal introduction if you wish.
Yeah, sounds good.
Give them a call. It works as well.
Any other questions, anybody? We'll just give it a couple of moments. We've covered everything. Young Guns, obviously, happening. Early bird is available until January, so you've still got time to register. You've got time to nominate any Young Guns or nominate yourself if you're a Young Gun. I think you might have answered everybody's questions, Mark. Everybody is probably waiting for 2021 to end.
I think the question is, what's necessary to qualify as a Young Gun? My general answer is it's all a matter of your thought process as to what's young.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Having said that, we had someone that come along that was 72, and I'm not sure that particular gentleman could sell that he was a young gun.
But he was young at heart.
He's young at heart, you're not wrong.
And the nomination is really, or the application is around an innovative initiative or project that has been worked on. So really you would be talking to, what you've accomplished with that. So that's the want people to think about it.
And, Andrea, it could be a video you do. It could be a PowerPoint presentation. It could be a written submission.
Yep.
It could be a client that you've had a great experience with.
Yep. Yes, everything is on the website, but feel free to reach out if you'd like a little bit more direction, like everything emailed to you directly. And I think that's it for questions. So thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you, Mark, for presenting.
It's my pleasure indeed. And before I go, guys, have a wonderful Christmas. Happy and safe with the families, and also a wonderful new year. And we'll look forward to seeing you in 2022.
Great. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mark.